circled over there. And I tell you what, if I'd have been a Nazarene, and I came real close to disrupting things at that point, but if I'd have been a Nazarene, I'd have probably come and glued in my seat when he called John Wesley an emergent leader. He said, Brian McLaren said, the kingdom of God, the term kingdom of God, and Jesus' use of it was a political term and not a spiritual phrase. And he said, it's akin to calling it God's peace network, his ecosystem for God, or his global love economy. And it was all about us bringing the kingdom of God to earth. Now, I can tell you this much without any doubt. I have not read an emergent yet who wasn't a preterist or into Kingdom Now theology. And it's all about them bringing what they believe Christianity should be to pass on the earth. And it's all up to them to do it. There's no sovereignty of God involved. God seems to be far off in their thinking. And they're pretty far out in their thinking, can I add, too. Brian McLaren about salvation, he says the word salvation means us saving the planet. I mean, I heard that with my own ears, folks. I'm sitting there a couple times, I felt my mouth open. I was just kind of stunned, dumbfounded that I was hearing this. And I kept looking around at the scene in there thinking, this is in a Nazarene college that preached the word of God at one point. The flagship university of the Nazarene Church in America is in Boise or Nampa, Idaho. And he's telling us salvation means saving the planet. Then he said the term the world isn't really what we've always thought. He says that when Jesus talks about the world, he's talking about the actual earth in John 3:16. For God so loved the planet, he sent his only begotten son. That's what Brian McLaren's version of John 3:16 would say. No, when Jesus is talking about the world, when Jesus says what he says in John 3:16, no, he's talking about the lost souls, folks. But that's not the concern of the emergent church. They have redefined the terms. Now, at the close of the Friday night session, we kept eyeing these things that were up on a couple of tables up in front. And I will give it to them. They at least did have a cross there, you see. But over here at the side, there was some things on a table, and you can't quite see it in the picture here, but we thought, what is that going on over there? And then come to find out that at the end of the session, he encouraged anybody who wanted to come up and be baptized into the new Christianity to come over and take water out of the vat they had on the table, the vat full of water, and rebaptize themselves into the new Christianity. I'm sorry?
Did you have any takers?
You know what? There were people that went over there, but I didn't actually see what happened at that point in time. Anyway, that wasn't where he stopped, though, because he said, while you're up at the front, make sure that you put your hands into the tub of dirt to find out what needs to be saved about our planet. God is going to take care of that, like I said last night. He will bring a new heaven and a new earth. Humans are not going to destroy this planet. That's in God's hands. This planet was created for humans. We were not created to save it. That doesn't mean we should tear it up. Doesn't mean we should be bad conservationists. Doesn't mean the recycling is wrong. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm just saying that the world around us has it backwards, don't they? They have it completely upside down. And this movement is helping that very thing. Now, you know, if I recommend a book to you, if I tell you that such and such an author is a good author and you ought to go buy his book, I'm putting my stamp of approval on the teaching in that book. Doesn't mean that I maybe agree with everything in the book, but I generally believe that the teaching in the book is something you ought to read, and I would uphold that teaching, right? So about the influences of teachers and speakers, I think it's important to see who they recommend. That tells you a lot about somebody. Well, Brian McLaren says, he says, I really like Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan. They have a book coming out called The Last Week. It's really a great book, he said. I'm so impressed about how these guys take the Gospel of Mark, really the last week of Jesus. It's really stunning. Now, who are these two guys, Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan? Well, Marcus Borg is a member of the ill-fated heretical liberal Jesus seminar. He's a professor at Oregon State University. He's the author of several books, including Jesus and Buddha, The God We Never Knew, and Reading the Bible Again for the First Time, Taking the Bible Seriously but Not Literally. Now, let me go on, because Marcus Borg tells us about his seminary experience. And he said, in seminary, I let go of the notion that the Bible is a divine product. I learned that it is a human cultural product. I realized that whatever divine revelation and the inspiration of the Bible meant, if they meant anything, they did not mean that the Bible was a divine product with divine authority. Now, this is the guy that Brian McLaren is recommending, so you kind of understand. Marcus Borg says, in his own book, The God We Never Knew, on page 25, Jesus almost certainly was not born of a virgin, did not think of himself as the Son of God, and did not see his purpose as dying for the sins of the world. That's in direct contradiction to what I believe the Scripture teaches, and I believe what most of you, and I hope all of you, believe the Scripture teaches. Now, who is John Dominic Crossan? He's just not a member. He's the co-chairman of the Jesus Seminar. And according to Crossan, after the crucifixion, Jesus' body was probably laid in a shallow grave, barely covered with dirt, and then torn apart by wild dogs. I don't know why he wants to call himself a Christian, because if Jesus didn't raise from the grave, he's still lost, doesn't have a Savior, and better find the nearest Jewish synagogue as soon as he can. The mission of Crossan's Jesus was to end racism, sexism, and the belief in absolute truth. And he states the story of the resurrection is mere wishful thinking. That was in Time magazine 12 years ago when he said that. These guys have not changed either. There's been no repentance from Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan. You see, it's not that they've all of a sudden gotten saved and changed. Now, this statement from McLaren's book, A New Kind of Christian, really shows the philosophy about what truth is to Brian McLaren. He said, the challenge today is not whether you are right, but whether you are good. It's all about feelings, folks. Experience trumping reason. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul warns Timothy to be careful to do exactly what the emerging church opposes. Paul says the exact opposite to his son in the faith, to be faithful in the preaching of the Word of God. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at its appearing in his kingdom, to you and me and to Timothy, Paul says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, and then do what a lot of churches don't even think about doing today. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and with that ill-fated word that so many despise now, doctrine. That's really the truth about today, folks. That's where we are. Paul says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's the Greek word, the root word for mythology. They'd rather believe a myth than the truth. But he says to Timothy, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And then he goes on to say, my time is finished. That's where he leaves Timothy. That's our charge as well, isn't it? Emergent leaders Doug Padgett, Tony Jones, Chris C., and Brian McLaren all worked together in a group called the Young Leadership Network back in the 1990s. And that's really where this thing started. And according to another man who worked with them in the Young Leadership Network, who's a pastor from Seattle who I do not know, named Mark Driscoll, Mark Driscoll, who left the emerging movement, who has renounced it, and who has lost the friends he had that were in it, who will not speak to him anymore, who write more nasty things about him online than anything else. Mark Driscoll says, when he was in the early discussions of what became the emerging church movement, these were the discussions. They were asking, does God really know the future? These are evangelicals, supposedly. Does gender really come with distinction? Is homosexuality really a sin? Are we all sinners by nature? Do we really need to keep that pesky doctrine of the Trinity? These were the things that drove Mark Driscoll away, and I praise the Lord for that. These are the reasons he left there, knowing he would lose friends that his kids grew up with their kids and that he'd shared many meals with, gone on vacations with, but he knew he couldn't stay there, because it wasn't the truth they were examining. And he said what the problem was, they reduced the Word of God to a conversation. And folks, that's exactly what the devil did in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. Reduced half God said to perhaps God said. And therein lies the problem. See, I'm one of those guys that I believe the whole Bible, and I believe you either believe it all or don't believe it at all. And it's obvious they're in a cut and paste, pick and choose mood in the emergent church about what truth is.